Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Walter Dean. You know, I had given some strong consideration to what kind of show I wanted to give you today, mainly because I had a comedian on last week, or at the beginning of this week. Week before that, I did a lot of things for 3 or 4 weeks in a row concerning race and race relations. And I didn't do anything on the sickness, that nasty virus that's going around killing people. We have a situation where Texas is going through a problem, and same thing in Florida and South Carolina and Arizona. Those are 4 major places that seems to be breaking all kinds of records because people are in limbo about wearing just a simple thing called a mask. But, you know, I just said I'm not going to talk about it because that's everybody's hearing and talking about that on the TV, and it's too sad to get involved with right now. But there's one thing that's constant and one thing that's consistent, and that's the Bible. And I thought it might be very interesting in going back and having somebody explain some of the elements that we find in the very first part of the Bible. And the reason for that is because sometimes we have a tendency to forget how we got ourselves into this situation that we're in right now. I think the earth is fighting back and saying, hey, look, you didn't take care of me, so I'm not going to take care of you. So let's go back and listen to some elements of the Bible.
Okay, we'll have Brother Antoine read the commandments from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17. Okay.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Now, let's follow this up with Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and read verse 14, Ecclesiastes 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14. Okay, read it.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
For this is the whole duty of man.
Uh-huh.
For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Now let's go into Revelation, 22nd chapter, and read verse 14.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
You know, sisters and brothers, this is going to be read every week until the Lord comes. Why? Because this is simply a roadmap to salvation. That's keeping the Lord's commandment, and this is what we're supposed to do, and this is our whole duty. So now we're going to get right down to the lesson. This lesson is titled, The Lord Desire to Live on Earth as in the Beginning. The Lord Desires to Live on Earth as in the Beginning. So one of the things that people don't understand because they have not read the Bible, sisters and brothers, is that the Lord is not interested in bringing you to heaven. He's not interested in the rapture. He's not interested in having nobody in heaven doing whatever they're supposed to do there. Because the Lord have told you that he wants to come here. He was here when he first created his name. And he tried to stay as long as he can. But what has happened? Israel the priest got thrown into captivity and scattered everywhere. And we lost sight on self, God, and purpose. And it fell to the strangers. And each one of the strangers had a doctrine. And they mixed the doctrine up. But it's one thing I know is among one thing that they all have in common. They all end up going to heaven. So we're going to show you that's not the case. We're going to start this in the beginning. Let's go into Genesis, the 7th chapter. Because, sisters and brothers, these things need to be understood. Because thinking that you're going to leave this earth and fly around heaven is strictly a doctrine of error. So we're going to start this at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 7. When the Lord dug man out of the ground. Genesis 2 and 7. Go ahead and read.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Uh-huh.
And man became a living soul.
So man came out of the ground. The Lord dug him out and breathed into his nostrils. And man became a living soul because we are a soul. Go ahead and read.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden.
Uh-huh.
And there he put the man whom he had formed.
Go ahead.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food.
Uh-huh.
The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Now the Lord had trees to grow out of the ground to sustain this man and his wife. But he had two other trees in the garden. And that was the tree of life, which we're going to show you that that's the Lord, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's saving the devil. But we're going to show it to you. But he gave him one directive. Skip down to verse 16. One commandment God gave his man, and he couldn't keep it. Go ahead and read.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it.
Uh-huh.
For on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Now, he gave him permission to eat of the tree of life and live forever. He only told him, just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you're going to surely die. Now, let's see what this man did. Let's go into Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. Genesis 3 and 1. Because this is here for us to learn, sisters and brothers. And we don't have no room to interpret or paraphrase. We're just going to read the Bible because this is the way it needs to be taught. And anybody going in any other direction and giving their opinion, I don't care, even if they're among the Israel of God, they will be misleading you. And we're not going to have it. 3 and 1, go ahead and read.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
That lets you know that this serpent
which you're going to show yourself the devil, is always listening. Always. Now, so he heard God when he told his man not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he brought it to the woman. You know, say, should you not eat of God? Go ahead and read. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, she understood it. She said, now, yeah, we can eat of everything but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's one tree we got here. So the God said, don't eat of it, lest you die. Look, first thing, I want to show you who this serpent is. Put your mouth in here, because we're going to come right back here. Because we're going to define who this serpent is. Because you have people still running around thinking that God cursed the Satan and the snakes crawling around. That represent this. That's why they are there. That don't have nothing to do with this guy. Let's go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, sisters and brothers. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to have a look, because we want to find out who everybody is that we are dealing with. So once you find out who is who, then you will know what direction to go in. Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to start reading at verse 7. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Okay, go ahead.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels.
Now let us know that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. We're going to find out who this dragon is. Go ahead and read.
And prevailed not.
The dragon and his angels lost the fight. Go ahead.
Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan was deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So now we know who the serpent is. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. So now we know that there was the devil in the Garden of Eden. That it was the devil that's also called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they have two names. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he has the name of a serpent. So we know who we're talking about here, who was talking to Eve. Satan the devil, the fallen angel. Now let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter. I told you to keep your finger there. Back to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. Genesis 3 and 5. Genesis 3 and 5. Genesis 3 and 5. You should be there. I told you to hold your spot. Okay? No, that's enough. 3 and 5. Okay, go ahead. For God doesn't know. Wait a minute. This is verse 4. I didn't finish verse 4. Okay. Go ahead and read.
And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
Okay, go ahead.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now, the Satan lied to her, so you ain't going to die. God knew then, God knew that the day you eat of this tree, you're going to be as God, knowing good and evil. So she went for it. So she listened to the conversation, sisters and brothers. Then she took that same conversation to her husband. That's what it means. She ate it what? She ate it with her mind. He talked to her, and she went and told it to her husband. Go ahead and read. Because the wife said, and she gave her husband, and he did eat. We're not talking eating fruit here. We're talking about conversation. Go ahead and read.
And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
When they said the eyes were open, that means that they was informed. He told them what everything was for. Obviously, he told a woman what she had and told a man what she had and what they were supposed to do with her. So that's why they got chained and made them some aprons of fig leaves to cover. You know, they just made aprons here. Nothing else. Go ahead and read.
and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Uh-huh.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Go ahead.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Now look, they said they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. That means the Lord was in the garden of Eden on this earth, sisters and brothers. He was there. And it's obvious that they could see it because they was hiding from him. And when he called them, where are you? They said, hey, we're here. Because they could see him. They could communicate with him. He probably, probably reduced himself into a form of a flesh and blood man, but he was there. And they talked with him. But go ahead and read. What verse?
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Now he's obvious. I heard your voice, I was afraid, and I was because I was naked, and I hid myself. What did the Lord say after that?
Go ahead and read. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked?
Who told you that you was naked? Apples don't talk, sisters and brothers. Fruit don't talk. Beings talk. In this case, it was the being Satan the devil. Who told you that you was naked? Go ahead and read.
Hast thou eaten of a tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
Uh-huh.
And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
So now, Adam said, this woman you gave me brought the conversation to me. And the serpent beguiled me. What was the beguiling? We saw it. He said he's going to be just like God. And I did eat. But let's get down to verse 22 and see what the Lord God was talking, because this is Jesus talking to the Father, sisters and brothers. And let's see what he said here. Verse 22. Go ahead and read.
When the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil.
Now, ain't that what Satan told him? Say, look, you're going to be just like God. You're going to know good and evil. So he said, behold, God co-signed that. But Satan lied when he told us that she wasn't going to die. So the man has come as one of us to know good and evil. Go ahead and read.
And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever.
Go ahead.
Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken.
He said, now, lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life and live forever, he put him out of the garden. That told me something here. If he had hung around the Lord long enough and listened to him long enough, he would have found out how to keep from dying. That puts it all on knowledge. If you knew how, you can live forever, according to what I read here. But God said, I ain't going to let you find out how. So he put man out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. Go ahead and read.
So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Now, he drove the man out of the garden. So he put these cherub angels around to keep the way of the tree of life. He didn't say the Garden of Eden, sister and brother. He said the tree of life. So now, everywhere the Lord show up, you see these guys, sisters and brothers. Even when they built the temple. We're going to go into Psalms, the 80th chapter. The 80th chapter Psalm. Even when he built the temple, sisters and brothers, he showed these guys around. Because the Lord is making a point. You had a chance to be immortal in the beginning. You don't? Well, you ain't going to sneak in and get it no more until it is time for me to give it to you. Psalms 80 and verse 1. Go ahead.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock.
Go ahead. Thou that dwellest between the cherubim. Shine forth.
Thou that dwelleth between the cherubim, shine forth. Everywhere you show up, these guys are here. Let's go to the 99th chapter of Psalms. Psalm chapter 99. Every time you show up, they are here, sisters and brothers. And the Lord wanted, so we'll know for sure who that was that they was protected. What way that they was keeping. They was keeping the way to your life. Make sure that man couldn't get to it. 99 and 1. Okay, read it.
The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble.
Uh-huh.
He sitteth between the cherubims let the earth be moved. He still let you know. He still got these cherubs around him, sister and brother. And he's going to keep these cherubs around him. So who is this still? Who is this tree of life then? By name, we're going to go ahead and get him. Let's go into St. John, the 6th chapter. St. John, the 6th chapter. Because the Lord is making a point. You had a chance. You had a chance not to die. You had a chance to become immortal without even knowing what death is about. But you dropped the ball. And every time you see me show up and you see these cherub angels around me that remind you that you had a chance to eat of the right tree and live forever. But what man did, he dropped the ball. It's all that simple, sister and brother. Now we're going to St. John, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start reading at verse 48, 6 and 48. Okay, go ahead. I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. He just didn't use tree, that's right. But I am that bread of life. Go ahead and read. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Go ahead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. See, they're not knowledge. He said, this is the bread from heaven which a man may eat thereof and not die. All Adam had to do was eat of it. He wouldn't have died. We wouldn't be dying now. In other words, he should have come out and communed with God instead of hanging over there communing with this Satan, this fallen angel. I'm the bread. Any man eat of me, he won't die. Go ahead and read. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Go ahead. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Go ahead. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, see, the Jews are thinking just like the people, the Gentiles have been telling you about eating apples. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Get down to verse 63. We're going to get right down to it. Verse 63. Go ahead and read it. It is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Go ahead. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, the conversation that I'm bringing to you, they are spirit and they are life. All Adam had to do was listen to him instead of say the devil. That's all they had to do. But then when Jesus made certain things and said certain things, a lot of people turn away and wouldn't walk with him no more. Skip down to verse 66. Verse 66. And go ahead. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Go ahead. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So now, this is what it's about. People left, and then he asked Peter, then, were y'all going to leave me also? The Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou have the words of eternal life. See, sisters and brothers, this is what's going to get you eternal life, the word of God. But what's happened is you got the Gentiles and the strangers teaching, they're blowing the word of God up, so it's mysterious now. Word is not good enough no more. You have to be some high place. You have to have some higher consciousness. Now what you have to do is be able to read good and obey, or listen good and obey. That's all you need to do. Sometimes we get so spiritual until we leave the planet. It is the words. You have the word of eternal life. So we're going to go to Hosea, the 10th chapter, and we're going to find out then what is it that Adam and Eve ate that killed us, that has killed them and that's killing us also. We're going to find it out. We're going to read one verse. Verse 13. Hosea chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 13. Hosea 10 and verse 13. Read it. You have plowed wickedness. It's telling Israel, you have plowed wickedness. Go ahead. You have reaped iniquity. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. Look, that you have eaten the fruit of lies. That's what Adam and Eve did. Either because you did trust in thy way. They trusted in Satan's way instead of God. So what they did? They ate the fruit of life. And that's killing them, and it's killing them and their children today, sisters and brothers, because they ate the fruit of life. Now, once they turn around and commune with Satan, God said, we ain't going to let them commune with us. Let's see why they couldn't commune, they couldn't eat of the tree of life once they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Because when God don't allow you to do something, you need to know why. But Lord, you know, we just made a little mistake. And so, but still, you can let us eat of the tree of life. God don't play that, sisters and brothers. And it's time for us to learn that. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start reading at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. Okay, go ahead. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice to devil. Now, this is the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. He said the Gentiles sacrifice to devil. That lets you know that if you're following this Sunday teaching and going to heaven, you're sacrificing to Satan, sisters and brothers. God said the Sabbath day is this Sabbath day, and we're going to show that God wants to come to this earth, not go to heaven. He said, so the Gentiles sacrifice the devil, and if you are today teaching, you are doing the same. Go ahead.
And not to God.
Go ahead.
And I would not that you should have fellowship with devil.
Go ahead.
You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devil.
So you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devil. Go ahead.
You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devil.
You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devil. That's why God said, look, this man could become one of us, as one of us and no good and evil, because he had partaken of the table of Satan. So God said, no, so no, you can't set meat with me no more. Because man has become tainted, and man had showed something, and showed God something. And that is that he can't listen well, and he don't take honest. That's why I couldn't eat, because Lord, you cannot eat at the table of Satan and then turn around and eat of my table. So now, the Lord was in the garden of Eden, sisters and brothers. He was in the garden. On this earth. Because Adam and Eve was not in heaven, sisters and brothers. On this earth. But the sins got worse. But still, God remained on the earth for a period of time with Israel. Because God wanted to stay here, sisters and brothers. And we're going to show you what we're talking about. Let's go into Exodus, the 13th chapter. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay among this man. He tried. I mean, he took a good effort. But this man's sins got worse and worse. The sinners increased. And now it has gotten to where it was in the days of Noah. Man's every thought is evil continually. But Lord tried to stay. He tried to hang in here. Exodus, the 13th chapter. Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to start reading at verse 17. Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to start reading at verse 17. Okay, go ahead.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near.
Uh-huh.
But God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt.
That was a shorter distance to Israel, but Lord knew that they had to go through the Philistines. And the Philistines going to come out and war, and the people already was rebellious. So as soon as they get into a little war, they're going to turn around and go back to Egypt. But go ahead, because these people can't stand no drama, even though they do stuff to create drama. Go ahead and read.
But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
Now, so God was still there leading. He was in the clouds. Skip down to verse 21. Verse 21 and go ahead.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way.
Go ahead.
And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light.
Go ahead.
To go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night,
from before the people. Now, he stayed there, sisters and brothers. He didn't go back to heaven. He was there. He was just in that cloud. But he was there, still leading his people. Now, let's go to the 14th chapter of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. Exodus 14 and verse 5. The Lord was still here in the cloud. They could look at that cloud, and at night, it was a pillar of fire. They could look and see that pillar of fire in the air, sister and brother, because he was still here. He tried to hang with this man. 14 and verse 5. 14 and 5. Go ahead. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now, once they let them go, then they had a change of mind. We got this free labor? Why have we done this? Go ahead and read. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. So now he got his chariot and took all his soldiers with him, because he was going to retrieve or kill Israel. Skip down to verse 10. Verse 10, and go ahead. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, they were afraid because they figured the Egyptians was going to kill them. But skip down to verse 15 and go ahead. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forth. He said, now, why are you crying? Y'all go forth. You need some action instead of holding out a belly aching. Tell them to go forth. Go ahead and read. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea to bite it. And the children of Israel said, go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, Moses did that. Skip down to verse 19. Verse 19 and go ahead. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Look, the angel, Lord always worked through angels, sister and brother. This angel was, he used his angel, but the Lord was in the cloud. So he went to an angel, sent it back, and stood between Israel and the Egyptians. Go ahead and read. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to me, so that the one camp not near, so the one came not near the other all the night. Look, now Israel came out of Egypt on the first night of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, sister and brother. First night, because when the Lord had to pass over and pass over their sin, Moses told them to stay in the house until daybreak. Don't come out. Mm-hmm. Now, so they traveled that day, and by the time they got to the Red Sea, it was night. So what happened here? The Lord made it light on Israel's side, but he let the night remain on the Egyptian side while he split the Red Sea. What verse are we?
Yeah, verse 21.
Go ahead. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Go ahead. And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided.
Go ahead.
And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord dried out of the Red Sea, and the people went into it. Go ahead and read. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. And let me know that the Lord was messing with the Egyptian mind. Ain't no way I'd have followed them in my right mind. But they pursued him in the sea, go ahead and read, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horses. Go ahead. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Ain't that something? So the Lord was in the cloud. So when the day broke, the Lord looked through the cloud and he started to trouble the Egyptians. What's some of the things he did? Go ahead and read. And took off their chariot wheels. And they drave them heavily. So the Lord sending that cloud peeping out at them, and then he make the chariot wheels come off their wagons, off their whatever they were using to pursue Israel. Go ahead and read. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Finally, the light came on in their head that they couldn't win. So they tried to run away. Go ahead and read. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horses. Go ahead. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So the Lord drowned them, sisters and brothers, and Israel saw the bodies saw them coming up on the shore. He drowned Pharaoh and all of his army, sisters and brothers. All of them. So the thing about it is, this was a pretty hard Lord, wasn't it? So what Lord was it that we've been reading about here that brought them Egyptians in there because he messed with their mind? Then he got them, so he started troubling them, taking the wheels off their chariot, and then he turned around and killed every one of them by drowning. We want to go to 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter and find out what Lord is this.
I'm going to stop right here for a minute.
There's a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. The very first thing is the lie that was told. The lie that was told to Eve that caused us to be in the situation that we're in today, where there is going to be death, relates to lies that are being told to the general public about this sickness that we have throughout the world. More importantly, about the sickness that we have here in this country. And it's just so very interesting that this particular lie is very similar to the lie that was told at the Garden of Eden. Now, you can take that for what it's worth, but that tells you about death, and we're all going to die. And we are going to die because of what Eve did. The question is to when. However, there is somebody who's the epitome of lies right now and showing precisely who that individual is. Let me stop for one minute, and I'd like to tell you about Unknown Voices, which is a poetry book written by Paul C. Willis. The book has a lot of very interesting things, and in one piece it deals with death. It's a different poetry concerning death, and fantasy, and emotions, and society, education. There's so many different areas that he covers in it. But in fact, I used to, when I was teaching at St. Paul's College, he sent me a whole set of them. And I used to have my students review it, and we tried to figure out what was going on, what was being stated. That was written by Paul C. Willis, and if you're interested in purchasing one of these illustrious poetry books, you can contact Paul C., WILUSZ, at gmail.com. And hopefully he has some left that will allow you the opportunity of purchasing some. We're going to continue now on with some more information about, and we're not going to, in each one of these, we won't get a chance to listen to the total thing, but we will hear certain elements of it, and each one of these elements can be related to some of the things that you see that are happening right now. Let's see about the prophet Moses. Let's see if we can find out something.
I've been thinking a lot about my grandparents lately. If they were on their last dollar, they'd give you 50 cents. And a tenfold plate would take them. We could use a lot more of that these days. If elected, every day I serve South Carolina in the Senate, the spirit of my grandparents will be serving the Lord with them.
Even my Die not. and talk to you personally. So you said, we don't want to talk to you no more. So I'm going to raise up a prophet from among your brethren, like unto him. In other words, the Lord said, I am honoring your requests. I'm honoring your requests. What verse are
we? Verse 17.
Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee.
Go ahead.
And will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
In other words, Lord, someone, I heard what they said. They made it very clear they didn't want to deal with me no more personally. So what's going to happen is, I'm going to send a prophet from among them, but the words that he speaks are going to be my words. He ain't going to come speaking his own thing. That's when people never pay no attention when Jesus said he speaks only what he's been told or what he heard. Go ahead and read.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him.
It said, whosoever that will not listen to the words which I gave him, which are my words, he said, it's going to be required of him. In other words, we're going to read in the New Testament and tell him, hey, they're going to be destroyed. He said, according to your request,
yeah,
I'm going to raise up a prophet like you, unto you, like unto Moses. And we're going to examine this and see if this was loose talk or is the Lord really being specific. We're going to go back to Exodus, the first chapter, because Israel went down in Egypt, sisters and brothers, and it was 70 souls that came out of Egypt. And they went out and asked 70 souls that came out of Jacob, brother. 70 souls. And we're going to show you that over the years, they grew to a great number. So great until the Egyptians started to fear. Exodus 1 and verse 1. Go ahead and read.
Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob.
You can read all the rest of them on your own. But he's letting you know it was 70 of them. Skip down to verse 7. And go and in the meantime, sisters and brothers, Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph rose up to be the second ruler in Egypt. In fact, he ran Egypt because he was the one that got Pharaoh and Egypt and the rest of the world through a great famine for 7 years because of his wisdom. But then Joseph died, and a generation passed, and Israel started to multiply. And they came up another Pharaoh that didn't remember Joseph. Skip down to verse 7 and go ahead.
And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them.
Now look, these people have really multiplied. And they are more and mighty than we are. All Egypt was filled with these people. He said, now, we got to do something to these people. Let's see what he said. Go ahead and read.
Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join us also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land.
So now, Egyptians are starting to really prosper from the labor of Israel. They have become slaves yet,
right?
But it's obvious they had good, cheap labor. So he said, now look, we got to deal with these people. Because if we get into a war, they're going to join our enemies, then they're going to get up out of the land. In other words, they're going to leave Egypt. So what did he do? Go ahead and read.
Therefore, they did set over their taskmasters to afflict them with their burden. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses.
Go ahead.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
Now, let you know who built all these cities, sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
They afflicted them, and the more they multiplied, the more they grew. So they couldn't do nothing with these people. Go ahead and read.
And they were grieved because of the children of Israel.
Now, because of that, the Pharaoh had to come up with another solution. Maybe what you call ethnic cleansing. But it was even more than that. What do they call it nowadays when you try to exterminate a whole people?
Genocide.
Genocide.
I want to stop right there because I would like for you to think of this whole situation similar to what's happening here in this country right now, because history has a way of repeating itself. And the same kinds of things that happened with the Egyptians and the Israelites after Joseph's death, where the people started multiplying. Let's see what happens to them. I think they get turned into almost slave labor because they built all the living of the huge pieces of tombs and things, or sphinx and things that you find in Egypt. Let's listen to some more.
But it was going to do it in a clean way. Let's show you how they was going to do it. Let's go skip now to verse 15. We're going to call it birth control. Verse 15, go ahead.
And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sipra and the name of the other Puah.
Now, you know, these midwives, you didn't have doctors. Nowadays, they done complicated everything. A woman have a doctor, have a baby, her insurance company or somebody, when she had that baby, she going to end up on the hospital by $15,000 to $20,000. It ain't necessary. I can tell you that because I was delivered by a midwife. Kate Smith, never forget it. Coming in, mama had me, boom, gone. I think it must have gave Sister Smith maybe about $75. So now when they came to the midwife, he had two midwives, and look what he said about these midwives. Go ahead and read.
16. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him.
Uh-huh.
But if it be a daughter, then she shall live.
Well, why is it he's going to kill only the males and not the females? Because the man carries the seed, sisters and brothers. This is something that the whole world don't understand. You hear people always tell me, you know, well, I'm half Indian and I'm half Polish. I said, who is your dad? Well, my dad is Polish. Well, you're 100% Polish. It's all that simple. The man carries the seed. Say it all the time. If you plant corn at the seaside, when it grows up, it's corn. If you plant it in the mountain, it's corn. If you put it in your window flower pot, when it grows up, it is corn. Man carries the seed. Whole world going to sleep on that. I see all this DNA stuff on television. Woman said, when I found out that I belong to the world.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Whatever your dad is, that's what you are. Go ahead and read.
17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them,
uh-huh,
but saved the men children alive.
So now the midwives wouldn't do that. They were afraid of God. So they still saved the children alive. Told each flower, look, Hebrew women are more lively than Egyptian women. Before I can get to them, they didn't have the baby. So then Pharaoh turned around and made and put his own people on the job. Skip down to verse 22. Verse 22. And read.
And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river.
Uh-huh.
And every daughter, you shall save alive.
Now, so he went to his own people. Now, his people carried it out. You had a male child, all your neighbors watching. If you got pregnant, how can you hide a pregnancy? They watch. If you had a male child, Egyptian soldiers or somebody, they call the soldiers, look here. They just had a baby over there. They come over there and examine the baby. If it's male, Nile River, fed the crocodile. You know, they have some big crocodiles in Nile River. So in the meantime, Moses is born. Let's go into Genesis, the second chapter. Exodus, the second chapter. And start reading that verse 1. Because this is Moses now. And we're going to look at some prophecies about Moses and compare them to Jesus later on. 2:1, go ahead and read.
And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi.
Uh-huh.
And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child,
go ahead,
she hid him 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid him in the flags by the river's brink.
Now look, she hid Moses as long as she could, but you know, when all your neighbors looking over your fence, is get clear up. So she made her little bitty boat and put him in the flags of the river. Had to be the Nile River. That'd be the reeds in the shallow water. Because the Egyptian
woman found him, she named him Moses because she said, I got me up from the water because I got him from the water. So now, she put him in that. Now, his sister watched him. Go ahead and read.
And his sister stood afar off to weep what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river.
Uh-huh.
And her maid walked along by the river's side.
Go ahead.
And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it.
Uh-huh.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him.
Uh-huh.
And said, this is one of the Hebrews' children.
Ain't that something? You go get your baby to get away from the Egyptians and go floating right up into Pharaoh's house. This is Pharaoh's daughter here. This is one of the Hebrews here, but she had compassion on him. I mean, she didn't want to kill him. She wanted to keep him.
Yeah.
And look what she said. Go ahead and read.
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she might nurse the child for thee?
This girl knew that she wanted to keep him. She finally made it. I'm going to keep this one.
Yep.
She said, okay, then do you want a nurse? I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child. Well, the Egyptians don't know about nursing no Hebrew women. Children, go ahead and read.
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother.
Ain't that so? Wouldn't call the mother. Go ahead and read.
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it.
Now, how could she keep Moses? No, and keep him because she was under Pharaoh's daughter's protection, yes. Well, now his mother became his nanny and raising Pharaoh's grandson.
Jeez.
And when nobody dare lay a finger on Pharaoh's grandson. But that's something to be learned here, sister. That lets me know one thing. Now, if Pharaoh's daughter is going to raise Moses as her son, and she is an Egyptian, and the Egyptians are black, what color was Moses?
Make it plain.
See, sometimes you learn something on your way to learning something. And what people don't understand is when the Greeks look up on Mizraim, on the Mizraimites, because that's Egypt's real name, Mizraim, they said, these people are black. You know what the word black is in Greek? Egypt. People don't understand that. So now, she took it. And his mother nursed him. Go ahead and read.
And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son.
Uh-huh.
And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water.
That's because of Moses, me, drawn out of the water. She got him in the Nile River. That's what river we're talking about. The flag, you know how the weeds light is. Weeds grow and the water's shallow. She found him there. So what providence then that Moses carried with him? He was the only man in Israel in the age. Because Pharaoh killed all the rest of them. Now let's go and have a look at Jesus. We're going to be in and out of Genesis, so put you a marker here.
No,
Exodus, brother, because we're going to, I don't know why I'm obsessed with Genesis today. But keep your marker here. We're going to be in and out of it. Now let's go into Matthew's, the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter. Because sometimes, sisters and brothers, it's just good to take your time and see what's it mean. Because I read that thing when it said, I'm going to raise the prophet up unto you like unto Moses. You know, like what does that mean? How can Moses, Jesus could possibly, how could he possibly be compared to Moses? So I decided to look for it. And when I looked for it, this lesson that you hearing is what I come up with. So that's what you have to do sometimes when you read the Word of God. So why is this here? Why did he say that? Why was this statement made? And pursue it. You'll be surprised at what you'll find out. You might find out the message that God left for you. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Okay, read.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea,
uh-huh,
in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
Wait a minute, you missed up. Three wise men.
Wise men.
You sure?
There came wise men.
Oh, we just learned something again, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
On our way to learning something. Wasn't no three wise men.
No,
wise
sir.
Men. Could have been from 2 to 2,000.
Wise men.
Go ahead and read.
See, where is he that is born king of the Jews?
Oh, where is he that is born my personal savior?
King of the Jews.
My God in life.
King of the Jews.
Oh, so they gave his real title, didn't they?
Yes.
See, sometimes, sisters and brothers, you said, sometimes people tell me, Brother Bush, sometimes you be too tedious. No, I'm not. The world is so dumb until you need to know these things. Every time you get the title of Jesus, King of Jews, the King of Israel. No other way. I'm telling you that. If there's another way, read it and read it back to me. Go ahead and read.
Where is he that is born King of the Jews?
Uh-huh.
For we have seen his star in the east, and I come to worship him.
Go ahead.
When Herod the king had heard these words, these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
Now look, Herod heard it, and he was troubled. Why was Herod troubled? Because he was the king of the Jews. The Romans made him the king of the Jews. And why was all Israel in trouble? You should read up on Herod the Great. The man was a fanatic. He killed everybody that laid, that he fought, looked at his throne. If you just walked in the palace and looked over at his throne, you was dead. Israel cried because the Egyptians were really enslaved. In fact, sisters and brothers, this is our first enslavers, the Egyptians. We became a nation down in Egypt. That's why we became a nation.
Right.
And we were enslaved by people that looked like us. Think about it. That looked like us even before we came under the curse.
Hmm.
So Ham enslaved us from his own, on his own, without being inspired by God. Think about it. Nobody paying no attention to stuff like this. This slavery here is under the curse. The first slavery wasn't under the curse,
right?
There's all them people that look just like you that don't care nothing for you. To this day, believe me. Exodus 3 and 1. Go ahead.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb.
Go ahead.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Now the Lord knew how to get your attention. So Moses saw that. This bush burning is not being burned up. He wanted to see what was going on. Go ahead and read.
And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burnt.
Uh-huh.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses.
Go ahead.
And he said, here am I.
Go ahead.
And he said, turn not not here. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Now, and from that day, from that moment, the Lord started telling Moses what he wanted him to do. Skip down to verse 10. Verse 10, and go ahead.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
So now, he didn't just get Israel and the Lord could have snatched them out himself. He didn't need to send nobody, but he wanted to do what he did because he had something that's going to give a great message in these last days. So he said, come now, I'm going to send you into Egypt, and I want you to bring my people out. So let's go into Genesis, Exodus, rather, the fourth chapter. Exodus, the fourth chapter, and start reading at verse 10. Exodus 4 and verse 10. Okay, go ahead.
And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither is there heretofore.
Uh-huh.
Nor since I have spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
Now, Moses tried to get out of it. I can understand that. Believe me. But I know there's one thing about something. The Lord don't care what your physical condition is or how well you can speak. If he wants you, he's going to send you. Even Paul talking about how crude his speech was.
Right.
So Moses tried to get out of it, and I know what Moses feels like now. Believe me, I know. But skip down to verse 14 and go ahead.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
Yeah, he resisted so until God got mad at it. Now you got all these preachers always, well, the Lord didn't call me. Somebody always telling me that.
Yeah.
Moses resisted so until the Lord got mad at it.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Go ahead and read.
And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother?
Go ahead.
I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee.
Uh-huh.
And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart.
Hey, look, I done covered that, Moses. I know you can't talk nothing. So I done sent you a talker.
Right.
Already. Go ahead and read.
And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a prophet. I'm going to tell you what to do. Then you're going to tell him what to do. Then he's going to go and tell Pharaoh what to do.
Yeah.
Skip down to verse 19. Verse 19. Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian,
Hello,
return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life.
So now, Moses had run from Midian from the Pharaoh. Now the Lord told Moses, return to Egypt, for all the men that seek thy life are dead. But in the meantime, we left Israel, we left Jesus down in Egypt, didn't we? Now let's see what happened to Egypt, Israel now, to Jesus now. Let's go back to Matthew, the second chapter.
I had a real moment to stop and pause because what happens is actually the part that's going on right now is about Moses.
We're gonna stop reading.
And I think it's a time that we need to stop, and because many of the things that are happening today. Many of the things that happened during slavery tells you that evidently the good Lord has had enough of what's going on in terms of the killing of people. That doesn't mean that he is destroying the world or anything of that nature at the present time. It means that he's not stopping any from this from happening, because there are people who are just ignorant and want to continue to do what they have been doing all along. And that's an issue that needs to be addressed. Now, I think that we have a little bit of time left, and I want to go on to another mysterious prophet, Isaiah. And let's see what that's all about, okay?
Vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. A vision given during troubled times to the people of Jerusalem living under the imminent threat of invasion.
In 701, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, Sargon's son, came over with his army and invaded the kingdom of Judah. We know from the Assyrian sources that they destroyed 46 of the cities of Judah.
According to the vision, the Lord was trying to get the attention of a nation that had turned their backs on what he had said in the Torah and on him. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The vision expressed both warnings and hope for Isaiah's time, while including predictions that reached to the end of the age. But there was one part of the vision that sounded different, totally unexpected. a mysterious prophecy tucked in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. In graphic detail, it spoke of a servant deliverer, whose identity seemed hidden in a kind of prophetic riddle. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. For centuries, many have tried to solve the mystery of Isaiah chapter 53 and identify this one whom the Lord calls my servant.
In the ancient Targum, which is a rabbinic paraphrase in the Bible, it says, "Behold, my servant, the Messiah," and it adds the words, "the Messiah will prosper." And so it is actually thinking of Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12, it says, this is the Messiah. So many, many passages, many citations could say, yes, this was a messianic passage.
Behold my servant. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Many were astonished at you. He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men.
From ancient times, Jewish interpreters understood Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12 to be a messianic passage. For example, in the Talmud, in Sanhedrin 98, it speaks of the Messiah. It asks the question, what is the Messiah's name? And it says, the sick one, for he shall bear our sicknesses, quoting from Isaiah 53.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his wounds, we are healed.
The Jewish view that's always made the most sense to me in this is then to argue for the righteous remnant as a function of the collective as opposed to Israel as a whole, because we know Israel's history as a whole is not particularly righteous. So the nation as a whole doesn't qualify. But the idea that within Israel there are certain righteous ones who have faithfully represented God who could perhaps fit this role seems to me to be a plausible way to try and make the corporate argument.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
This much we see. Beginning in the 41st chapter, Israel is referred to as the servant of the Lord as a nation. But then sometimes one individual within the nation is identified as the servant.
He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people.
It says that the servant dies for the sins of my people. Now, whether it's Israel speaking, God speaking, or Isaiah speaking, the only answer to the question of who are my people is, it's Israel. So how could Israel die for Israel as a substitution?
And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous.
So the unnamed servant succeeds and conquers, not by power, but by surrender and suffering, bringing healing for his people, the Jewish people, and the world. But who is this suffering servant?
When you come to Isaiah 53, you have to ask yourself, who actually fulfilled this? Who actually died, and his own people thought he was dying for his sin, and yet he was dying for the sins of the whole world? Who was it that didn't defend himself, that went as a lamb to the slaughter? Who was it that not only was cut off from the land of the living and died
but then continued on, saw the light of life, continued alive. Who was it that bore the sin of many? Who was it because of whom kings of the earth have shut their mouths in awe and said, we never knew, we never understood?
For centuries, the rabbis of Israel reflected on the mysteries of what Isaiah had foreseen. Some suggested that Isaiah was predicting two messiahs, two deliverers, one in the military legacy of King David, another who, like the patriarch Joseph, would rescue his people through suffering. Messiah, son of David, and Messiah, son of Joseph. Then, just as the modern nation of Israel was being reborn, the prophecies of Isaiah resurfaced. Ancient copies of the prophet, dated 100 years or more before the Christian era, were discovered at the lowest spot on earth, near the Dead Sea.
So the Dead Sea Scrolls are ancient Jewish manuscripts, discovered between 47 and 56. In 11 caves in the area of Qumran. Qumran is located on the northwestern shore of the Dead Sea, 25-30 kilometers east from Jerusalem.
This was one of the greatest and most important discoveries of antiquities ever made.
Here, the air is bone dry, perfect for preserving and hiding the manuscripts of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Many scholars identify what remains of the Qumran community with a Jewish sect called the Essenes. Seeing the priesthood and temple worship of Jerusalem as being corrupted, the Essenes broke from mainstream Judaism and retreated here, the Lord, in the wilderness.
It seems that the book of Isaiah was among the most popular and most admired books for the sect which was living at Qumran during Second Temple period.
And of the book of Isaiah, we have 21 copies. Isaiah is the most popular prophet among the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oft-quoted prophet in all the scrolls, and it's the fact that out of the 220 biblical copies in Qumran, the only full copy is the great Isaiah scroll discovered in Cave 1. 47. So it's very obvious that must be a reason, because Isaiah is the key prophet in Qumran.
The Essenes carefully copied biblical texts and community documents. Their desert library reflected the belief that they were living in the times of Israel's long-awaited Messiah.
So, we're going to move on. So the last thing that I want to deal with today, and that is the information about this COVID-19, which is revealed in the Bible. Let's give a listen. We're not going to hear it all because we only have 15 minutes to show that.
Is COVID-19 a sign that the world is about to end? Will we have another economic collapse? Is Jesus appearing in different places around the world right now? Did you know that the Bible precisely predicts events surrounding the end of the world? But most importantly, the Bible gives instruction on how we can be ready for that end. Together, we will be answering these questions from the Bible right now on Unlocking Bible Prophecy.
The rise of an international pandemic, polarizing global politics,
management and corruption,
increasingly destructive natural disasters.
Bushfires in Australia are a warning of what may be to come around the world.
What does it all mean? What does the future hold? Join international speaker Kenny Ubman on a journey for answers in Unlocking Bible Prophecy. In her travels around the world, she's come face to face with real life struggles, but in the midst of them, she's found miracles of hope. Join Kenny Ubman for Unlocking Bible Prophecy as she shares how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled faster than ever before.
Hi, I'm Kenny Ubman. Welcome back to Unlocking Bible prophecies, a thrilling journey through some of the most important prophecies in the Bible. Yesterday, we began with an incredible story of the ancient king Nebuchadnezzar and his dream given to him by God that predicted the rise and fall of the major world empires. When Jesus foretold how this world's final end time events will play out, can we trust that this is what will happen? Absolutely, friend. God keeps every one of his promises to us. The Bible also lets us know that God cares for this world, and most importantly, he cares for you. As we look to the past, we will sit at the feet of Jesus and hear a most sobering teaching on the signs of the end of the world. You won't want to miss his incredible instruction on this an all-important topic. But before we get into the presentation, I'd like to go over some of the logistics of unlocking Bible prophecies. We have several resources we would like to offer you, all of which can be accessed by clicking the link below or by going to awr.org/Bible. First, you can find all of the archived presentations to watch and share with others. Second, our goal at Unlocking Bible Prophecies is for you to receive tools to grow spiritually. So we invite you to enroll in our online Bible school, where you will have the opportunity to dig more deeply into many Bible topics. Third, during these presentations, you may have questions. We have live Bible instructors who are right now awaiting the opportunity to answer your questions. Again, just click on the link below, and they will be happy to correspond with you. Also, don't forget about the chat section of this video. We want to interact with you. Before we begin our second presentation, The Signs, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, Lord, we come before you tonight. We want to learn about the signs that you have given us so that we are warned in advance of how to prepare for them, so that we're not frightened, but that we are relying on you, and have us fall deeper in love with you tonight as we study your warnings for us, Lord. We love and adore you, and may people out there that have been wondering about these things have their questions answered tonight so they can feel assured by you in your holy word. In Jesus' precious, powerful name, amen. We have been in the midst of a worldwide global shutdown, a global pandemic. This is something unprecedented, and many people are afraid for themselves and their loved ones. Potential economic disaster might be around the corner, and many shelves on the grocery stores are now empty, and you may not be able to get what you need. You may be afraid of what the future holds. Our minds are flooded with unanswered questions. Will the economy collapse? Will I be able to feed my family or have a place to live? Will a vaccination be found quickly for COVID-19. When we look around the world tonight, we see many people are perplexed and troubled. People of all backgrounds and cultures are becoming increasingly anxious. They are worried as they look toward the future. They wonder, what is coming next? Bible prophecy clearly reveals God's plan for the future. Let's repeat our theme for this series. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it disagrees with the Bible, then it's not for me. The book of Revelation begins and ends with the glorious climax of the coming of Jesus. Revelation 1:7 promises, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Revelation lifts our eyes upwards to heaven, taking us from the problems of this world to the solution who is Jesus. The last chapter of the book of Revelation shows us how close we are to Jesus' second coming. Revelation 22:20 says, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In Revelation 22, Jesus says three times, "I am coming quickly." He wants us to be prepared for this climactic event. You may be wondering, how soon is Jesus going to come? Jesus' disciples wanted the same thing. They asked him directly in Matthew 24, verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? In chapter 24, Jesus outlines more than 20 signs of his return. Isn't that exciting? He loves us so much, he lets us know in advance. So let's go through some of these together tonight. In a masterful presentation, Jesus blended the events associated with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD with those that would take place at the end of the world. He foretold signs of his return that would be occurring in the world of religion, the arena of politics, the sphere of nature, and in the culture of society. The first of these signs concerns the world of religion. Let's go to Matthew 24:24, see what Jesus warns. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. Before the second coming, we should expect an explosion of false teachings from religious leaders who are misleading people away from the Word of God by false signs. Not all miraculous works are done by God, friends. The Bible teaches that evil spirits can perform miracles too. Let's look in Revelation 16:14. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them up to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You see, these false teachers call attention to their supposed miracles as proof of their powers, so that you believe whatever they teach. But these signs will be demon-inspired to deceive men and women. They are counterfeits. The closer they get to the original, the more credible the counterfeit appears. That's why you need to know the Bible for yourself, my friend. Beware if any religious teacher tries to lead you away from the Bible. So what is the Bible standard of a true teacher then? 1 John 2:4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Therefore, a true teacher will keep the commandments and speak the truth. So beware if anyone comes to you, even if they claim miraculous signs and they can heal the sick. If they disregard the plain teachings of the Bible, run. Run to your Bible. And this is precisely why each Bible text is on the screen so you can see it with your own eyes. And please look it up in your very own Bible.
We will continue with this fantastic statement about the last days. And if we will be able to overcome the COVID sickness, I'd say. See, the things that are actually being projected right now by this young lady comes out of, I tried to show some other things, but this is it says the second coming of Jesus, which is revealed in the Bible. COVID-19, one of the signs of the second coming of Jesus, you just heard, in terms of lies. And that same lie goes all the way back to the same beginning that we had in the show of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And it's continued throughout this whole presentation tonight. However, today is Friday, and on Monday we will continue with this presentation. So please stay tuned and come back at 5 o'clock on this coming Friday by calling the numbers that you called in so far. This has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean.